Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, here in the United States of America, on Blog Talk Radio, on the Mwamba World Outreach Global Ministry. We are here for you, beloved ones, wherever you are, listening to us, whatever instrumentality you're using. It could be you're using a laptop or you're using the computer itself. Maybe you're using an iPhone or whatever instrumentality you're using, or a tablet to listen to us. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba bringing the Word of God fresh from the throne of heaven. Amen. Well, beloved ones, it's very exciting here in Dallas. As I've been scanning through social media on Facebook, and to see that scientists in NASA here in the United States are saying that it looks like there is water on planet Mars. Can you imagine? Water on planet Mars. They say there are certain deposits which have been seen as an overflow of water which had been descending into this crater, and then it dries off when temperatures reach a certain degree level, and then they leave a saltish kind of deposit. That kind of salt is the salt that is found in water. And, you know, the atmosphere of Mars is full of carbon dioxide. Now, I was thinking to myself, well, if it's full of carbon dioxide, you know, we human beings breathe out carbon dioxide, and plants take in carbon dioxide to process with their chlorophyll and give out oxygen. So if plants can be planted on the planet Mars and they take in that carbon dioxide, guess what they'll give out? Oxygen. Then oxygen will be taken in by human beings and then breathed out, and then it goes back to the plants. And the more carbon dioxide there is there, the more of the air that the plants need will be sufficient for them to give out oxygen. Just that I don't know how long it will take for the percentage of oxygen to balance out in the atmosphere of Mars. And according to Google, Mars atmosphere is not that dense. And so we don't know how much protective the atmosphere will be from foreign bodies like meteorites and stuff like that, the heavenly flying bodies that might leave their circuit and maybe head for planet Mars. But it's a very great discovery. I heard one time here on social media that there are some individuals ready to pay some amount of money, get on a shuttle and go to Mars and never come back and stay there. I was checking, it takes almost like a month and some days, maybe 3 months, 90 days or something like that, 3 months to get to Mars. So they'll be in this spacecraft flying for, I think, a solid 3 months or more. They say depending on the speed of the craft, that's how long it will take you. And they'll be on planet Mars. And then from then on, I don't know how they're going to survive, you know, because there are no trees, although NASA is trying to take plant life there, plant it maybe on Mars, and then see what happens. We're going to get a balance in the atmosphere at or on planet Mars. Well, just shows how much of the creation of God there is that we are dealing with, you know. Just one planet out of many planets, nine planets we have, you know. And then not only that, then there's the galaxy in which we are. And then we have the Milky Way, combination of different galaxies. And our God, the God we deal with, is so big, very, very big. It's amazing that sometimes we limit him through our thought life, because we are human beings. We look at the things we focus our eyes on, and we forget that there is a big God who has got big answers to our big problems. Amen. Well, today, Dallas is pretty nice. We're hearing of rain coming down in the Washington, D.C. area in the next 5 days. A storm coming, they're saying, on the weather forecast. And it looks like it's going to affect us here in Dallas, too. We need the cold air to blow through this area. It has been a little bit too hot. But then once rain comes, you know, rain brings cold weather too, doesn't it? Amen, it does. Well, on the political scene, things are moving on, and Trump introduced his budget, the tax thing. You know, he's talking about how people who earn $25,000 or less per annum are not going to pay any tax. And then those who are married, the couples earning $50,000 are not going to pay any tax too. Well, if that works, that's something, isn't it? Exempted from tax. But we don't know. You know, they're still looking into this thing, and they think it's, I don't know if it's going to work or what's going to happen. But we have other people dropping off on this candidate stage. But we are here praying that the one that the Lord has chosen is going to be the one who is going to take up leadership here in the United States of America. But I'm happy to see President Obama meet President Putin of Russia. They met at the UN and had a discussion of some sort. First time I've ever seen the President of Russia come to the United States. That's amazing, isn't it? He was in New York at the United Nations, and many of the presidents, the President of Zambia, I saw Mugabe there. I saw many presidents there who were addressed by the Pope. And then after that, you know, they have all these other presidents share meeting and giving their addresses, like President Obama of the United States. Friends, today is another day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I've seen there is a lot of response on my site on Facebook on the Word of Life Bible College, individuals clocking in wanting to be part and parcel of that, you know, group that I have on Facebook. This is a group whereby those who sign in there and become members of the Word of Life Bible College, we're going to win through them, and those who are interested to study, they can register and start doing a long-distance planning with the Word of Life Bible College online school. And so I had a lot of people wanting to join. When I looked at my site, there were almost like 12 pending requests to become members of the group. And I approved a lot of them. But, you know, there are some, you find they're members of 98 groups. Come on now, how serious are you going to be 98 groups? Do you follow up on all those groups? How can you be a member of 98 groups and really keep up with all of them? Yeah, it's like the way I have members on my site, you know, Facebook. I try to keep up with each and every one, send a greeting, at least say hello to them on their birthday and wish them happy birthday. I'm always there. I want to know who they are. I don't just get people to link with me and become friends on Facebook whom I don't know. You know, I go through their profile, I look at who they are, and I look at their likes and dislikes. I look at how they keep up with their page, and then at least I know who they are. Then we become friends with a common cause, mainly evangelizing the world for Jesus Christ, winning the lost to the Lord. That's our main theme. I've got various pages on Facebook. I've got the Zambia for Justice in South Africa. I've got the Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba's profile, the public figure. I've got Lawrence Mwamba's site, which is our trading site for the business that we have, which is the Amchili Imports and Exports. I have that too. And I have the main page, my page. Then I have groups like the Mwamba World Outreach, which is a group that deals with outreach, you know, things that pertain to outreach and stuff that needs attention to Christians. Then I have the Prayer Warriors group, where we pray for needs. I have the Mighty Men of Valor. Those are also prayers, so people who can pray specifically for needs that we have in ministry and the needs that come to us through our broadcast. So, you know, I have a number of groups there, which are groups with meaning and intention. I have the Pentecostal Believers Church of God group, which deals with the members of the Pentecostal Believers Church in Zambia and all those who want to be abreast and know the status of the ministry back in Africa. But, well, friends, today, if you have your tablet there with you, you see I said my main theme and teaching is forgiving yourself. forgiving yourself. My theme is taken from this chapter, number 8 of the Gospel according to St. John. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, reading from verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. Here the Amplified has in brackets, early in the morning, meaning at dawn. He came back into the temple, in the temple court, and the people came to him in crowds. He sat down and was teaching them. When the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, they made her stand in the middle of the court and put the case before him. Teacher, they said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such women, offenders, close brackets, shall be stoned to death. But what do you say to do with her? What is your sentence? This is close brackets. To do with her, what is your sentence? We have a cross-reference here in my Amplified Bible, which is Deuteronomy 22, verse 22 and to 24. That's where the commandment was. Verse number 6 of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. This they said to try, close brackets, test him, hoping they might find a charge on which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Verse number 7. However, when they persisted with their question, he raised himself up and said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Then he bent down and went on writing on the ground with his finger. Verse number 9. They listened to him, and then they began going out, conscience-stricken, one by one, from the oldest down to the last one of them, till Jesus was left alone with the woman standing there before him in the center of the court. Verse number 10. When Jesus raised himself up, he said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? Verse number 11 of John, chapter number 8. She answered, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go on your way, and from now on, sin no more. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Look at that closing caption of Jesus. He said to her, from now on, sin no more. Jesus asked them a very pertaining question. He said, who is without sin? He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. See, there verse 6. This they said to try or test him, hoping they might find a charge on which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. However, when they persisted with their questions, he raised himself up and said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Now, we deal with a lot of stone throwers. I was a stone thrower too years ago. Stone thrower simply means people who accuse others of wrongs they have done. And especially in this realm of adultery, fornication, sins of the flesh, when it happens, we are very quick to lift up our finger and point at others for the sins they have committed. But we do forget that we ourselves, maybe, I know there are people who have grown up very chaste. By chaste, I mean they separate themselves so well, they were not involved in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, they were not involved in adultery or fornication, they clean. I don't dispute the fact that there are people who are like that, clean all the way up. Because, you know, it depends on the way that you have been brought up, the way you have grown. But you see, this sexual drive is a drive that was planted in man for proper use to propagate human population. I mean, to actually enhance and bring forth population of the earth. God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And you can only do it through intimacy with the wife and husband. Through that intimacy, a child is conceived by the wife, and a child is born, and then we have people on earth. Boys, girls grow to be man, woman, and eventually they could grow to be husband, wife. And we have the population explosion like it is now. They're saying in 2045, here in the United States, you know, in 2020, here in the United States, we're going to be 445 million people residing in the United States. And the population of the world is going to be at 8 billion. 8 billion people. Right now we are about 7.5 billion people on planet Earth right now in the whole world. But the whole point of the matter here is accusing others of wrongdoing. We are very, very quick to accuse others of wrongdoing. And in effect, we ourselves don't forgive ourselves. That's very dicey. The thing I want to center on is when all these accusers would accuse this woman of adultery, they were following the law of Moses, like I said. And Jesus wrote on the ground because each and every one of them had a failure somewhere. And the Bible tells us that beginning from the greatest, they read from the oldest down to the youngest, each one had their wrong in their life. Because Jesus said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And so they all left and left the woman alone with Jesus. Then Jesus says something to this woman. He said, where are your accusers? Doesn't anybody accuse you? The woman answered and said, nobody, Lord. There's no one who accuses me. The reason is Jesus had cleared all the deterrent. The people were determined to kill her by stoning her to death. They were moved out of the scenery by the power of the wisdom of Jesus. Jesus says to the woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See that? You see, Jesus is not in the condemning business. Jesus is in the business to bring us to repentance. The very fact that we are fallen, wherever we fail, whatever sin we have ever committed, does not mean that's the end of our pilgrimage. People have done crazy stuff. People, sometimes I read the social media and I read the press. I have my paper dropped at my house every day by the Dallas Morning News. I read and I channel, surf through the channels on television and read, hear from CNN, from MSNBC, from all these channels of news, ABC, of some crazy people who do things that are out of perspective, unbelievable crimes. People who are so wrongly wired inside them to commit such outrageous crimes beyond human comprehension. Like this young man who came amongst the church up in Nashville. I can't remember the city now, but he was there like he came to join them. This was a young white boy, and he was in there, a young white man. And after he sat with them for a while, eventually shoots them all, except one who pretended like she was dead but was alive. He shoots them at point blank and kills them all. This black church. You say to yourself, how can you commit such a crime? What makes you do such a thing? How can you commit such a crime? But you know what? God is a judge. And human beings have got judges too. That's why we have the circuit courts. That's why we have the Supreme Court. They are there to deal with things when people go off their normal paths of reasoning and start to do crazy things. They must be locked up, kept away from society, so they don't cause any more harm on people. But then I'm looking at the other side of the coin in the sense of when you haven't committed a crime worthy of death, because here in America there are states where you're sentenced to death. Like right now they're talking about a woman who's going to be killed tonight in Atlanta. She had the accused of killing her husband years ago. I think it's 1979 or something like that. Or, you know, I can't remember the year they said, but the parole board couldn't offer her mercy. She's going to be executed tonight in Atlanta, I think in Georgia. So there are these states that are still, you know, using the capital punishment, death penalty, for taking a life and killing people. But then I'm looking at the fact that in your daily life, you are a decent person, you hold down a job, you have a business, and things are moving on fine. And there seems to be nothing wrong in your life, but something keeps condemning you. Maybe you did something. You committed adultery, or you sinned, had fornication, or you took something that didn't belong to you. You did some private sin, and you keep, oh, you failed God publicly, but you keep condemning yourself day in and day out. Let me tell you what. In such instances where you, as an upright man living in this society where you can be productive, you keep condemning yourself of such kind of sin. Listen, these things can paralyze you. By paralyze, I mean it will cause you not to do anything else, which will be productive. You keep on being brought back to where you failed maybe your girlfriend, or failed your wife, or failed your husband, committed adultery, or whatever you did, or did something wrong. Maybe messed up on your job and you lost your job, or you messed up on your car and you crashed your car, or you messed up on your credit and you blew up your credit and your credit is in tatters. You messed up on your bank account and blew all the money away. You messed up on your investment deals and withdrew the money which you were not supposed to and spent it all. You messed up on your education. Instead of being consistent and complete your academics, you blew them up. You joined the wrong crowd, started smoking up marijuana or getting into drugs, and blew up your future into pieces. Let me tell you what, there is a way you can be restored back to wholeness. And the first thing is you must forgive yourself. You see, that's why Jesus here, when all these accusers came to this woman, he wrote on the ground. Why did he write on the ground? Because the very accusers were accusing this woman had something in their lives that they had done, maybe even that none of the people around there or their family ever knew about it. But him being Lord knew what they did. He wrote it on the ground. And each one of them, when they read it, they knew they had done that wrong, and they left. And left the woman alone because they were also in the wrong. To the bottom line is, there's nobody who does not do wrong. We do wrong, but it just depends on the level of wrongness, I could say. How far wrong were you? What wrong did you do? There are levels of degrees of offense. But it suffices to say that whatever wrong you have ever done, forgive yourself. Maybe you never paid attention to your children. Maybe you never paid attention to nurse up your children so that they can grow to become responsible people in society. You ran away from your family. You left that family hanging alone and to fend for themselves in this tough economy, tough world. But it's in all these things, you still need to forgive yourself. You ran away from home. You left your parents, you know, secure home base, and you ran out on the streets, started doing other things that you are not supposed to do. But you come to your senses, like that prodigal son. He came to his senses. He said, why should I live here eating the husks left by these pigs, while my father has bread enough to spare, and even the servants of my father have enough bread even to spare. They eat and they spare bread. Why am I here suffering and eating these scarce husks that are being given to the pigs? He came to himself and forgave himself. He says, I'll go back to my father and I'll say, Father, forgive me. And he even said, don't regard me as one of your sons, but just forgive me and let me be just like one of your servants. But the father welcomed him as a son, because as you are a son, you always be a son. My point is, do not condemn yourself because of the wrong you have ever done in the Christian life that can drive you in the wilderness. Everybody has had something wrong they have done in their life, but they have learned to ask for forgiveness and then forgive themselves. Forgive yourselves for the wrong you did to others. Forgive yourself for the lies you lied about others. Forgive yourself for the misjudgment that you judged others before you had the facts. Forgive yourself. You see, when you forgive yourself, you release that captivity, the thing that tends to lock you down and prohibit you from advancing in life. When you forgive yourself, you release yourself of impediments, things that can lock you down and cause you not to succeed in life. You see, blockages will ever come in our lives as Christians or even non-Christian, but it's the way we relate to them and how we focus ourselves to fight against those impediments, fight against the blockages that the devil throws in our path, and some of the things we ourselves, through our carelessness, throw in our path. How do we get rid of that? It's by forgiving ourselves. I remember I had a huge amount of money when I was in Tulsa, giving like over $45,000. He said, ooh, Bishop Mwamba, you had that cash, yes? $45,000. But you know what? I paid out quite a huge amount for a friend's funeral. I wrote out a check for $12,000. To pay for the whole thing to be settled in this funeral thing. And I remained with the money, paid the bills that had been incurred by this friend, and remained with some more money, bought a lot of my personal stuff, brand new furniture costing me over $3,000, included all the beddings, this brand new lounge suit, brand new dining suit, brand new television. I bought a lot of stuff, and then I had enough money to spare. I bought a few clothes and continued to pay some of my bills here and there. Cleared all my accounts and was clean. But then I got into some wrong company that started to siphon money from me. Some borrowed money they never returned back. They took me out to eat and dinner, and they wouldn't pay, and I ended up paying. One individual one time came to me asking for money. I gave them about like $800 and never gave it back to me. Another man said he was short. He wanted to get to pay for his monthly mortgage. He was short by $200. This was a close guy, a friend of mine. Gave him $200 and he never paid me back. But through it all, you know, the money, as time went, because of spending, it was gone. That's why, you know, I always say that, you know, when you have thousands of dollars, don't you think that that money is going to stay if you don't have plans for it, to reinvest it? So I learned from that, and I said, next time God gives me huge amounts of money, I'll know how to reinvest. Right now I'm planning to reinvest into a business, our Amateur Imports and Exports. We'll be buying clothes, and selling clothes, people like Paul, clothes, designer clothes like Paul or Ralph Lauren, Yes St. Laurent Lenti, and Dior, many different kind of designer clothes. We will be selling and start to pick up our pieces again and get into the business world. And we have vehicles that do the business and vehicles that will be used so into ministry. But the whole bottom line of all this thing is to learn to forgive yourself. Then start afresh and think big, plan big, because you serve a big God. And let me tell you what, when you do like that, you are not going to fail in life. God is going to see you through, and God is going to reward you one more time. So what are you going through right now? How is your life when you look back? What mistakes have you made? Forgive yourself. Learn to say, oh, I was wrong, and now I want to make a fresh start. David, he sinned against Uriah the Hittite. He took his wife and Bathsheba impregnated her. The first son died, but God blessed him with more children. But the point is, David asked for forgiveness and forgave himself. Look, God said, I've never found a man after my own heart. He had Solomon, the wisest king that ever lived, a billionaire. Look, God can change your life too, but learn to forgive yourself so you can have a peaceful mind and a fresh start. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Wamba from Dallas, Texas, here in the United States of America, signing off and saying, learn to forgive yourself. God bless you, and bye-bye. I'll talk to you shortly. Tomorrow, look for my broadcast. I'm here on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you, and bye-bye.